Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Okay, today we're talking with Charlie Kindle from Microsoft. Charlie, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. Good. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do at Microsoft? And
yeah, I'm general manager for the application platform developer experience. Basically, my job is to make sure that we have the marketplace on the phone full of great, beautiful, engaging applications. At the end of the day, that's how I measure to make sure that there's both a large number of them and that there's a high quality set that are the set that end users expect to find.
Right. And when you say high quality, how are we measuring that? What kinds of things are you looking for?
We're looking for apps that stand out from a beauty perspective, that are complete, have a quality experience where they don't crash, they don't have things that aren't aligned properly, they're fully functional, and in many ways the idea of a beautiful, engaging application it's very subjective, and I think a lot of us just know it when we see it. It's a little bit like, pornography. You know it when you see it.
The other side of pornography, the obverse side of it.
So actually today, I found an app I hadn't seen before, and it's a perfect example of a stunningly beautiful, high quality application. My coworkers came by my office this morning and said, "Charlie, have you seen this app yet?" I said, "I've heard of it, but I actually haven't seen it." And he showed it to me on his phone, and I immediately had to go get it off of Marketplace, install it on my phone, and I paid for it. And
you say which app it is?
Yeah, it's called Cocktail
Flip. Yeah, you were showing me it at the beginning of the day, and one of the things that stands out about it, in addition to it being beautiful, is they clearly get the phone. They get the whole way it works and the panorama concept, and yet using beautiful graphics and very efficient use of the space.
It is. I have this thing that I've been doing for several months now, where every day, every work day, I tweet, at C. Kindle is my Twitter name. I tweet this thing called the Windows Phone 7 App Find of the Day. And what I used to be doing before we actually had Marketplace up and running is I would literally, the first one that I came across during the day, like if I see someone would send me an email or I'd go and look up on YouTube, the first app I saw, I would tweet. Now that we have thousands of apps in the marketplace and available on the phone, I'm only doing ones that I've actually used and that I like. And one of my criteria is it a beautiful app? Is it something that I would say, I would show this off proudly to someone else and say, this is an example of what we mean. And so this morning, Cocktail Flow was my Windows Phone 7 app find of the day.
I have to point out that when I asked you about quality, the first characteristic, the last characteristic, and the primary characteristic was beautiful.
Yeah.
So I understand that performance and functionality and fitting the general design is kind of the sine qua non. It's the necessary. But what I'm hearing you say is to really hit that highest quality, it has to look and really engage the user and be very attractive.
It does. We've tried with Windows Phone 7 to make the built-in user experience, the ones that you get out of the box with the email experience, the people experience, the gaming experience, all those integrated experiences, we've tried to make each one of those beautiful in their own right. And we think we've been pretty successful. It's not perfect. We know we always have more to strive to. And we believe that end users who purchase Windows Phone 7, because we've set that bar so high, they will expect that the applications that they get to match that bar, and they will be disappointed when applications don't. And so we think that the applications that are going to do the best in the marketplace, the ones that are going to rise to the top as we get the numbers that make it hard to really wade through it all, will be the ones that have that beautiful aspect of it, but they also need to be very functional. There's a lot of applications out there that do very simple things. That's great. It's one of the nice things about the smartphone world is that you have this glance and go, these very simple apps that you just get in and do a task. And there's some that are more immersive. And in each of those cases, whether it's a very simple application or it's a more sophisticated application, Cocktail Flow is actually fairly sophisticated. It uses a web service to get its data. It's got a bunch of different pivots that you can go in to view the drinks that you want to make in different ways. It's got search. So it's fairly deep. It's important that functionality is complete and consistent. I've seen a lot of apps where you get in, and initially they look beautiful. The very first screen, they got a nice splash screen. They spend some time on the art, and you start using it, and then it really rapidly falls apart as you get into the deeper parts of the application. So, and users will notice that. They'll say, "Oh, well, this is where I've kind of been gypped off because this developer did the facade, and they didn't put the meat behind it."
Right, but there was nothing behind it. But you've set a fairly high bar for developers who want to get into application development. Is there some guidance that you want to point folks towards in terms of meeting each of these criteria for excellence?
I do. We have a lot of great guidance out there already. We have the Windows Phone Design Guide, which you can download as a developer. Go to create.msdn.com, and we're going to continue to iterate on that and improve it and make it even more valuable. But it really describes the characteristics of the Windows Phone design system, which we've codenamed Metro. So people who are listening will recognize that term. There's quite a few articles out there, in blog posts and so forth on Windows Phone design. Recently, we've started to identify top 10 lists of things people should do or not do.
And those are always popular.
Yeah, we haven't published the set of stuff that we have right now yet. We're working on it. But I could actually talk through some of the things that developers should watch out for as they're building their applications and games for Windows Phone 7.
That would be great. I think people would really enjoy that.
Yeah. So let's do that. So we'll just all start at the top of this list. The first one is when you have a user experience, a screen within your application where there's a text input field, and thus the keyboard is going to pop up, the SIP is going to pop up onto the screen. You need to make sure that you don't have buttons that are critical to completing the task that get occluded by the keyboard when it pops up.
So no critical hidden buttons under the keyboard. Take number one on your list is take that under consideration when you're building this.
And I think one of the reasons we're seeing so many challenges with this right now is that most development is happening within the emulator. And it's much easier to make the SIP appear and disappear while you're using the emulator versus on a real device. And so we have a challenge. We don't have enough developer devices out there up till now. And so we recognize that a lot of developers have had very limited ability to run their apps on real devices before they ship them. That now changes. We're now at the point in time where devices are going to be available in mass in retail.
And so I hear cheering outside your window.
Yeah, we recognize that's been a challenge. So like having a login screen with a username and a password, and then having a login button that isn't visible when the user is typing the text is bad. There's a couple minor things related to that type of login screen that I'll point out. One is highly recommended that if your security policies allow you to do this, is have an option for the user to show the password.
To see it visible the entire time.
On the built-in phone experience, if you go to the Wi-Fi authentication page in Wi-Fi settings, there's a very good example of that, of how there's a checkbox that lets you, as you're typing the password, make sure it's visible. This is particularly important for those applications where entering the wrong password and getting a return from that with an error may take a long time.
Yes.
This just gives the user the confidence. And the other critical thing to do on these types of screens is where you have multiple text input fields is make sure you handle the enter key correctly so that the user doesn't have to users are going to be trained to just type and then hit enter to go to the next field.
Yes.
So enter takes you to the next field, and then when you're done with the form, enter should complete the task.
So is that all under one?
It kind of was.
Okay.
I'm editorializing as we go.
So, I know. I like it. It's good. Just to back you up for 1 second, you were referring to the keyboard as the SIP. Can you just say a word about what that's about?
I believe this is a common term from the mobile space, from the smartphone space. It stands for standard input panel.
Fair enough.
We call it the SIP internally. It's the or TIP. It's the text input panel, and it's the virtual keyboard that comes up onto the screen whenever you're in an edit field.
Okay.
Sorry about that. So another great topic is. For your start tiles that show up on the start screen of the phone, the first thing is that users are going to be used to the ones that fit the Metro style, and really it is it's typographic. We use this term authentically digital. And that means that the user experience of the phone doesn't use gratuitous realistic effects like wood grain, shadows, 3D effects as a primary way of getting the point off to end users. And so we see a lot of icons coming in and start tiles come in that have looked like they've come from other platforms. In some cases, they look like they're drawn by kindergartners.
Yes, that was mine.
And in both cases, we don't think that's good. We think that is a jarring experience for the end user, either a low quality one or one that doesn't fit the Windows Phone design system. And so avoid a 3D type or 3D effects, avoid gradients, avoid rounded corners. Start tiles, we think are jarring. Your start tile icon should be descript. We have a certification requirement that your start tile should accurately represent your application without the user having to guess. If you have a brand that is an extremely well-known brand, say Nike, for example, everybody knows what the Nike brand looks like. They could just have their start tile be the Nike symbol. That would be fine. But if the name, if your logo for your company is the letter M, and you just have a smart tile with the letter M on it, and you don't actually have an explanation, that's not good enough. The users are going to get confused.
So the goal here is that it fits, it's consistent, and it's self-explanatory.
That's right. And make sure you test your tile with both light and dark themes on the phone, as well as different accent colors. If you make your start tile a transparent PNG, you can actually get the accent tile accent color to come through in your start tile. And you need to test with the different accent colors to make sure you didn't do anything that where you get a color bleed that looks bad.
Great.
Your splash screen. If your application has a startup time that takes more than a half a second or a second or so, you should use a splash screen. If your application comes up very quickly because it's a very simple application, then you're actually better off not doing one because it turns out that it ends up being a flicker for
flash
the user.
Light, right. Mm-hmm.
But if you do have a load time, use a splash screen and make sure that you've invested art resources in making sure it's an attractive start screen. We see a lot of people trying to be very creative in laying out of elements in forms and on screens. Our user research and the Metro design system has shown that consistent layout is far more important than trying to indent things in different ways and so forth. So the design system provides a grid. It's based on a 24 pixel left screen margin that's justified. It's left justified, and everything should be left justified. We see a lot of applications, like I said before, where people are indenting the various things. And so don't do that. Use the right font sizes.
And I just want to jump in and say that the templates that come with the development platform are designed to do that for you and to set
that
up for you. So the path of least resistance is to do exactly what you're saying.
Tried to do our best there to make sure that those have the right guides, and so it's hard to kind of fall off the rails there. But a lot of people, we all are familiar with the previous platforms, whether it was Big Windows and Win32 or the iPhone or places where there's just a completely blank slate like the Android platform is. And in those cases, you get used to doing certain things. You come to the Windows Phone and it's not always intuitive. So it's totally understandable. I've done it myself as I've built apps. I've gone and here's another example. Doing a list and putting horizontal separators between the list items.
Yes.
Lots of people want to do that because it seems very uncomfortable to have a list item where it's not obvious immediately what the differences between the different list elements are. It turns out that if you do your text layout within the list elements correctly, you use the right amount of spacing, it you don't need those horizontal lines, and they end up cluttering the user experience.
Right. And if each item starts with a slightly larger font,
that's right.
And it does make it fairly obvious where the next item is.
And effective use of the accent color. You look at the email reading experience, the email view on the phone, as a great example of how it's completely obvious what the list items are, but there's no need for any sort of horizontal separator line. Obviously, you need to design for the different color themes. We mentioned this in talking about the start tiles, but throughout your phone, make sure you, throughout your app, make sure you actually test with both themes set, dark and light, and different accent colors. We see a lot of apps come through where the testing hasn't been done, And frankly, you could have spent all this time on building a beautiful app, and for the user who's decided to customize their phone, your app looks like crud.
Right.
And so you have to do that testing.
Just for developers who are just getting started, the two things that the user can easily adjust and that you want to be aware of are, A, they can pick the dark theme and the light theme, but B, they can go in and set those accent colors, the red, whether it's blue, which is the default, or green, and it has to work with all of those because the user is free to do that.
Right.
And from the application, you cannot take control and reset that, nor would you want to, but you can't as well.
Correct. Obviously, you need to design for touch. The Windows Phone is a touch only user experience, and really what that means in practical terms is how big you make the touch points for the things that you're going to engage with. We see a lot of developers, and I think part of it is again a byproduct of only having the emulator to work with, but they've made their touch targets too small. So when you get on a real device, it's too hard to find things. So the minimum font size for things that are touchable is about 15 points.
That's a key guideline that's very important to know. So the minimum font size, if you're going to ask the user to make that a touchable item, is 15 points.
That's right. The touch target size, so if you have some sort of an icon or graphical element that people are going to touch on, it should be 9 millimeters. Now, it's going to vary some device to device because the screens are slightly different, but on the smaller size devices that we have out there, if you shoot for a 9 millimeter touch target and above, you should be good.
And do we have a translation of that for pixels?
I don't offhand. We should probably get that. That's a great. I could do the math.
We'll look for that on the page that I'll associate with this podcast.
The spacing between elements that touch that you have touched 2 millimeters. Again, we can translate that into pixels. It's a really good idea to provide feedback, visual feedback on touch elements. If you go into the people picker, the people page, and you select an item, you'll notice that those items have this very cool effect where they sort of parallax tilt for a second.
Yep.
There's a tilt effect right when you touch it. And that type of visual feedback is very important, particularly if the action that the user is taking may take some computational time.
So you're not going to see results instantly.
That's right. You don't want to be in a situation where every time a user touches something, you have to put up a progress indicator. That's
right.
Really horrible. But sometimes you do have things that take a little bit of time. They take 50 or 60 milliseconds. And so you want to make sure you provide that instant feedback that you touched the button. It's like in Windows, right? We always made it so the button depressed, right, when you clicked on it.
Right. No, I just had that with a different phone where I was trying to accept a meeting and there was no feedback. So do I hit it again?
Right.
Do I hit it again?
Exactly.
You know, what's going on?
There's different things you can do. You can make it so that if it's a button, you can make it so it changes to a white. It inverts its color.
Yes.
You can make it so that it's immediately disabled right when you tap it, or you can make it so that it has some sort of an effect, like it's being pressed.
Right, and the toggle button gives you that inversion for free.
That's right. Another place where we're seeing a lot of challenges is when people use the web browser control within their Windows Phone applications. For developers that don't know, we added to the Silverlight platform as part of Windows Phone the ability to host HTML content within your applications, and it's done via the web browser control. And basically, you get the full power of the Internet Explorer engine within your applications, and you can invoke from your JavaScript within your HTML, you can invoke platform code. And from your platform code, your C# code is your application, you can actually call into JavaScript as part of that. So people are using this. It's a very powerful capability. But what we're seeing is that because the HTML that comes down that's rendered can't be rendered as with the same fidelity that Silverlight allows, or they're just pulling in web pages that were authored for another, for just the broad web, when they show up on the phone, they're really ugly. It just, the fonts don't match, the colors don't match. And so if you're going to use the web browser control, take the time to do the HTML formatting and styling. You know, use CSS, whatever the tools are that you want to use, to make sure that HTML matches the rest of your application experience.